Dear, let's unite our hearts in prayer. Lord, it is a joy to come together, to be in thy house of worship, to have thy word before us. And Lord, it is a blessing to know that thy presence is here with us. And so, Lord, as we open thy word, we pray that our hearts would be open as well, so that the words of our Savior Jesus Christ would fall upon our hearts and bring forth the fruit that thou art looking from those of us who have heard of thee, who know thee. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that this evening would be a blessing unto each and every one of us, and that we, Lord, would worship and honor thee, and that thy name would be magnified and exalted in this day. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Dear ones, for this evening's reading and meditation, I desire that we would turn to the Gospel of John, chapter number 7. I'd like to read, beginning with verse 21 to the end. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. May God bless our reading, and let us kneel before our Lord. Brother John mentioned that I said that I would read from the Gospel of John, but it was the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 7, from verse 21 to the end. So, dear ones, as we have read this portion of Scripture, these verses were referenced Sunday morning as we read another portion of the Sermon on the Mount. On the chapters, we discussed faith. We were taught how to pray, the integrity of a man, what a life of faith looks like. And as we look at the Sermon on the Mount as it comes to an end, Brother John referenced to this portion of Scripture, and it really made me think a lot about it. When he says, so he closes this entire teaching, and he says, Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. And he talks about, he likens them unto a house or a builder that builds his house, one upon the rock and one upon sand, and the difference being that one does not do the things that Jesus has just taught in these sayings. And when we think about this, we can say that every one of us has heard. Every one of us has heard the Sermon on the Mount. Every one of us has heard what the will of God is. We've all heard it. So no one can say we didn't hear it. And so Jesus says, whosoever heareth these, that would mean every one of us. So every one of us have heard. Now every one of us will give a response to what we have heard. And so we could look at the building of the house as it being our life. That's life. The building of the house is life. And so everyone who is born will have a house that he has built. Or we could look at it as simply what Jesus is speaking here. Whoever has heard these sayings of mine, that would mean everyone who has heard the gospel message is building a spiritual house. And that would be everyone who has heard is going to make a choice of where he will build his house upon. And there's only two foundations. There's the foundation, there's the rock, the eternal rock of Jesus Christ, the gospel message, or there is the sand or the shifting sand of time. And every one of us, as we have heard the word, will make a choice. Where will I build my house on? And I read the three verses prior to the beginning of this parable that Jesus spoke, simply because in my Bible here, it breaks the verses up, and it says, begins with verse 21, and the heading says, doers of the word. And so we went back to begin at the doers of the word. And there, Jesus is really speaking to each one who is professing and building a spiritual house and believing wholeheartedly that he is building upon the foundation of Jesus Christ. And so Jesus is speaking of man today who has a hope. He has a hope. And that hope is really something that drives him every day. He is confident in what he is doing. Full confidence. He heard the word. He believes he is fulfilling the will of God, not realizing that he is building his spiritual house upon sand. And so we have to ask ourselves, so how do I know what I am building my house upon? Because he gives an example here. And dear ones, and one thing I always think about whenever we come to the house of the Lord, and especially all of us, we know each other so well. And on Sundays when the church is full, especially in the evenings when it's packed, there's sometimes standing room only. And we all come to church. We all come to praise God. And we're going to live our life, and we're going to end our life. And every one of us will have an end. Everyone will have an end. And then there's the judgment. And we all come with a hope. We come with the confidence. We come with a hope that when this life is over, that we will be those who will be saved. And so I often just ask myself, we all come with the hope to be saved. Will we all who walk through these doors be saved? Will all who have been baptized be saved? And I start that question with myself. Because what Jesus talks about, he talks about a lake of fire. He talks about a place where the worm never dies. He talks about a place where the fire is not quenched. He talks about a place that there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. And we might say, well, those are metaphors. Well, metaphors are just shadows of things to come. So if those are metaphors and just shadows of things to come, what then is hell like? What is hell? If what Jesus describes is just a metaphor, a shadow of what will really take place in the torment of a separation from God for eternity. And we know none of us want to be there. And so Jesus doesn't want us there either. And that's why he came. And that's why he left us this Sermon on the Mount. Because here, he speaks of something that actually is a reality that we will read. And dear ones, do we ever read this and literally just read it verse by verse and just go on and just keep reading it and see, are these the things that my life, I've read this. Jesus says, if whosoever heareth these sayings of mine. Okay, so when you go to the doctor says, what do you know about health? What do you know? It doesn't do us any good to know everything about health if we're not doing anything about it. If I know that I'm a diabetic and my sugar levels are high and my legs are going to get amputated because I'm going to lose my circulation if I don't stop eating sugar, if I know those things, is the doctor going to ask me, well, do you know? Yes, I know. No, it doesn't matter what I know. What are you doing? What are you doing? And so Jesus says, it's not enough to know. That's the beginning. So he says, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. And he says, I'm going to show you what that person is like. He's like a man that builds his house upon, he's a wise man who builds his house upon a rock. He's a wise man. And dear ones, oftentimes I think when we think about salvation, the word salvation, what does it mean? What does salvation mean? It means, we would say, it means we are forgiven. Yes, we are. But that's not where salvation stops. We have been redeemed. Yes, that's not where it stops. Salvation is an empowerment that God gives to do His will. That's salvation. So when I have been saved, Jesus Christ empowers me to do that which I have heard. We cannot dismiss this. We cannot dismiss any verse in this Sermon on the Mount. No, what part can I say? Well, that's not important. Now, let's see here. He's talking about, we read about having faith rather than anxiety. Well, that's not important for me. Or, you know, forgiveness or where he teaches us to go make peace, and when he talks about being peacemakers, well, that's not important. What can I choose to ignore? When he talks about returning good for evil, when he talks about adultery, he talks about divorce, he talks about oaths, he talks about anger, he talks about all these things, being the salt, being the light, talking about what true piety means. What part of that can I dismiss? Because Jesus says, if you heard them and do them, you are a man that is wise. And when you are wise, you are building upon what Paul describes as a foundation that no man can lay. It is Jesus Christ himself. When we think about building a house, Do you know that it's true that the foundation of which upon a earthly house is built upon is one of the least focused on places. It's built, well, it's good enough. It's good. We're not that interested. Oh, does it meet spec? Whatever. And is it done shoddily or not? It doesn't matter. What we're interested in is the chandeliers that are hanging that you're going to come and see. We're interested in the things that are visible, the things that someone else can say and look at and say, wow. But the foundation, if I can save a little bit on it, I'm going to save. I'm not that worried about it. It's good enough. Our spiritual house cannot be built that way. Cannot be built that way. Because the foundation that we are choosing then is sand. It's shifting sand. And that shifts through time. The words of our Lord can't change. They're the same. And they remain. And it is upon those words that these storms will come. We could look at the storm that will come as judgment of a house. Everyone will be judged. Every house will be seen. Will it stand? When the storms come. Jesus says, we're all here. We know what God's will is. And so Jesus says, happy. If you know these things. In other words, if you've heard them, if you know these things, happy are ye. Does he stop there? No, he says, if you do them. So knowing is one thing, doing is building the house on the foundation of Jesus Christ. Jesus says, everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not, he's a foolish man. He's going to be likened, compared to a foolish man. A fool. Who wants to be a fool? You're a fool, Jesus says. Because you heard and you know. And you built your house upon the sand. And the sand gets eroded, and the house falls. There's no foundation. That's really no foundation. Sand is no foundation. It's washed away. There's nothing there. There's nothing that remains. And so when we think about my salvation, what do I look and compare my life to? What do I stand up against? If it's anything less than Jesus' word, I'm a fool, because it's sand that I'm building my house on. Anything less than, there's no part of his word that I can dismiss or consider unimportant. You know, when we die, you know, our span of years is whatever it is. Whatever that span will be. What does it matter when I am gone? When you are gone? What matters? What matters? We were told that we can't lay treasures up upon this earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt. You can't put your hope in anything that you can see. He says, you cannot serve God, you cannot serve mammon. And mammon. It's one or the other. And Jesus says, you will hate one and love the other. And man says, no, I think I can get by with loving both. And Jesus says, no, you will hate one and love the other. Why do we like to comfort ourselves and say, it's not a sin to be rich? Why would we even want to utter those words? It's not a sin to be rich. What is my trust in? Why am I rich? Do I not see the needs of others? Am I thinking about myself as the rich man did, the fool who was told, tonight your soul will be required of you? Those are all things that are written in the Sermon on the Mount. He talks about if someone asks something from you, give it to him. He wants to take more, give it to him. That's not easy to do. A man who is not empowered by the Spirit of God can't do that. He might be able to do it grudgingly and with a grumble and so on, but can you do it in the manner in which Christ is asking? No. Not without him. To be a light, what is it? He says, you don't light a candle and put a bushel over it. And so, dear ones, if we're building our spiritual house on sand, our focus is on something else and not on the written word of Jesus Christ. We allow ourselves to dismiss certain verses, sayings. They don't apply today and so on. As we dismiss those things, basically what we're doing is we're sinning. And sin in our life is the bushel that blocks that light. I didn't even plan on reading verse 21 through 23, but those words are something that, dear ones, every one of us has to take notice of. Not everyone that says, Lord, Lord. So as we read this, it doesn't matter what stage of our life we are in, if we just read, not everyone that saith, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Who is it that will? He says, the one who doeth the will of my Father. The one that heareth these sayings of mine, Jesus says, and doeth them. He that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Here it is. I have full confidence in my life. And Jesus says earlier in this chapter, he says, beware. First he says, enter. And then he says, beware. Enter in at the gate, the straight gate. And he says, beware of false prophets. Whoever doesn't enter, and whoever is not aware, will not do the will of his Father. To beware of false prophets. You know, you can take a stone, a smooth stone, and throw it in the water, and it will not take on that water. It will not take in that water. It will have no effect. That's really the world that we are living in. It is full of lies, deceit. Why? It is a world that is ruled by Satan. He is the father of lies. All he knows is lies. And so anything he presents is a lie. It's not true. And we are in that world. We are here. We're there. But that can, it doesn't mean that we have to soak that in like a sponge. A sponge thrown into the water, we know it absorbs everything. It takes on everything that it comes in contact with. But dear ones, Jesus gives a warning. Beware. They're going to come to you in sheep's clothing. But inwardly, they're ravening wolves. Enter in at the straight gate. The straight gate is these teachings of Jesus. To know him and to love him. And to hear, in thy name we've prophesied, we've cast out devils in thy name. Just because we invoke the name of Jesus does not mean we are doing his will. Just because I can tell someone I serve Jesus, and I think I'm not ashamed to tell anyone about Jesus, does not mean that I am a follower of Jesus. That's what Jesus is saying. Because when we read these verses, we can look at a church that Jesus talks about in Revelations who had everything going for them. They did all these wonderful works. They prophesied in his name. They cast out devils. They did wonderful things in the name of Jesus. And Jesus says, I have something against you. You know, let's look in the Word, read chapters 5, 6, and 7 of the Gospel of Matthew, and ask ourselves, what does Jesus have against me? They had all the wonderful works. They prophesied in his name. They had every kind of event that you could name. In the name of Jesus, we're doing this and this and this. And he says, you've left your first love. I'm going to spew you out of my mouth if you don't go back to that first love. Whoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, Jesus says, is one that loves me. In John, the Gospel of John, it is he who loves me. So when we left our first love, we've left him. We left him. And so we can ask ourselves, what is it that Jesus has against me? And there was, when we read words like this, why did Jesus say these things? To be brushed aside? To be dismissed? When he says beware, when he says watch, that's supposed to alert us, supposed to bring us to attention. Jesus has something to say. And as it says here in the closing, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. He taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Why did he have the authority? He was heaven sent. And the words that he spoke, They weren't just endless babblings and repetitions and so on that the scribes were saying and doing and doing even different than what they're saying and so on. These were words from the Lord of heaven and earth, who spoke and lived this very word. And our lives are going to come to a close. And, you know, I often think about, because I have a lot of people that I'm in contact with throughout the days and years, and I hear often, he died, she died, and you see him no more. And you just wonder, and even in our circles here in our churches, we know many, and as they pass on, and the church changes, the people change, and as we get older, all those before us, as when we were kids, are gone, and we become the old, and there's a shift, and it takes place. But every life lived, every life that was lived, came to an end. And upon those short days, as that hymn writer says, upon those days, so fleeting, is so quick, eternity rests. On those few days that you and I have here on this earth. You know, all of us have gone through, I believe, most of us are, and to some extent more than others and so on, but we've all felt ailments, sicknesses. Some more so than others, and you have to think at that point about death. And what is it? What is it like? Is it something that I'm afraid of? And if I'm afraid of it, why am I afraid of it? It's a mystery. And so we don't know what death is, because we only know the flesh. What is my life outside of my flesh? I don't know. But it continues. It goes on. I'm just absent from the flesh. But the soul goes on. Me, you, we go on. And what is that like? Jesus describes it as heaven and hell. And upon these words, the hearing and the doing of them, eternity with him rests. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. Dear ones, may God give unto each and every one of us a desire not to just, you know, it's very prevalent, the sayings and the teachings of salvation and just resting, and we do rest upon the completed work of Christ Jesus our Lord. Absolutely. But salvation then is an empowerment that God gives me to do what he asks of me. It doesn't stop with just a rest and I don't have to do anything. No, I can't do any. I can't build with the focus being on my works. No, the building is the love of God and the keeping of his commandments. That's the building of my spiritual house. I'm doing because I love him. I keep his commandments. His sayings are dear to me. I love them. It's life. It's light. It's peace with God. And may he give unto each and every one of us, dear ones, that love for him. I believe it was just Sunday we heard our love for him, our faith in him drives us to love him, which drives us to serve him, which We can't do without him and his word, and we don't shove it aside. We look into and we read it, and we love to read his word because he's our life. When that takes place, dear ones, he empowers us. And so that when these short days are over, we rest upon him, upon his promises, and life then was sweet. It was lived in him. So may God bless his word upon each of our hearts, dear ones, in this evening, that we would all take the time to really reflect upon these chapters of Jesus' sayings and ask ourselves, in light of this, what does Jesus have against me? And so may we answer that in the power of the Spirit and in the direction of the Holy Spirit, and not to the sayings of what Jesus is saying, beware of false prophets. Let's answer those questions in light of his word, the only word that we will be judged by. Amen.